You're going to the dogs. Okay, I think Craig, we can go ahead and... You're here, right, Craig?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead and take the formal role, and we can get started, I guess.
Okay, would it make sense? I've written down 10 names. Would it make sense for me to read the 10, and then anybody else who's not?
Yes.
On, to tell me?
Okay. Read.
I have Lorenzo Fine, Robin Borden, Adam Syed, Sheila Casey, Barry Zwicker, Ken Freeland, James Hufford, myself, Charles Aremka, and Jeffrey Orlin.
Dwayne Dietz.
Don Masurlian, I don't know if you were hearing my name.
Oh, Don, sure.
Doug Langford.
Sorry, what was the last one?
Don Masurlian.
Don, okay, yeah.
Did you get Shelton?
Nope, I didn't get Shelton. Thank you.
I'm here.
Hi, Shelton. That's what I've got so far, 13 people.
We could find out who is has all that background noise and ask them to move into another space or do something to mediate the noise.
Yeah.
Does it
change the difference?
Yeah, that's better. Oh, okay. Well, it's an air conditioner running in the background. Okay. Well, okay, I'm going to have to change my location. One moment.
Must be hot down there in Houston.
You betcha. Hot enough to keep that AC running 24/7.
Did we just get somebody new that just joined the call?
Yeah, I'm George.
George. Hi, George.
Okay, so are we ready to roll, Craig?
Yeah, well, I think I've got everybody. If you want me to read it one last time, I can do that.
Up to you. Whatever you say.
Well, okay, I'll just do it real quick just to make sure I didn't miss anyone. Lorenzo Fine, Robin Horton, Adam Syed, Sheila Casey, Harry Zwicker, Ken Freeland, James Hufford, Craig McKee, Paul Zaremka, Jeffrey Orling, Dwayne Dietz, Don Mazurlian, Shelton Langford, and George Ripley.
Okay, I don't hear anybody objecting, so I guess that's our total list for tonight. Let's go ahead and do our thing. First, okay, this is the 9/11 Truth Teleconference for 4/25/2012. Ken Freeland moderating and facilitating, and Craig McKee, the secretary. Okay, we need a quick approval of the minutes as posted by Craig after the last teleconference on 3/28 and circulated with his draft minutes. Any objections to approving the minutes?
Did we start the recording?
Yeah, the recording has been started. Thank you for the reminder. Has anybody any objection to approving the minutes? Hearing no objections, in the minutes from 3/28 are approved as posted by Craig. And that leads us to tonight's draft agenda. Any modifications of the agenda as circulated?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we move all those presentation up in time, such as prior to Don Mazurlin's 10 minutes.
Well, let's see what that would mean. Does that include the review and discussion of Kevin Ryan's recent post? Or do you want to keep...
No, all those things is separate from that. He's got a separate presentation.
Okay, so you're actually proposing to put all those for presentation first on the agenda is what you're really proposing, correct?
No, I'm saying come after the discussion about the Honegger Marquis debate.
Okay. But then it would be the next item after that one.
Yeah.
Just one thing, Ken. I have someone taking care of my wife, and I have to be off the phone
So I'd like to be able to go first.
Okay, well, there's an objection to the proposal, so I guess we're going to have to put it to a vote. Is there any other discussion about the proposal to move Sheila's item ahead of Don Mazzarian's item?
Alaska here has a comment.
How long was Sheila's item?
Yeah, my comment is simply that Aldo's not online anyway now.
I'm here actually now.
Oh, okay.
I've actually had some problems with my internet. I'm trying to get these images to the group so you guys could follow along.
Well, it sounds like that being the case, you might not want to go first, but I'm just thinking out loud here.
Well, how's the internet working now? Is it working or not?
No, I'm still not getting anything just yet.
What's the problem with the way it's set up now? I don't understand. I said I have a wife I have to take care of, and I have someone taking care of her that has to leave at 9 o'clock. So.
Yeah, we'll let this gentleman go first.
Okay, well, then why don't we just move him ahead of the discussion about Kevin Ryan, then? I just don't want it to get bumped. I know how things tend to run over, and then whatever is last gets bumped.
These are both 10-minute items, so I doubt that it's going to be a problem. But
these
if you want
what?
To, we can... They're both 10-minute items ahead of yours, okay? I don't think it's going to take the whole, you're not going to bump anything, because it's only 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you have a right to object if it runs over, okay? Okay, Sheila? We're only looking at 20 minutes of agenda items ahead of yours, if we can get going on it. Other than the I want to move,
well, Aldo, are you going to be trying to get your internet together? Is that what you're going to be doing?
Yeah.
Next, what, 20
yeah.
minutes or so?
If not, we'll just move forward without it. And...
Okay, well, let's just keep him where he is then, because he's...
Okay, the proposal has been withdrawn. Any other proposals regarding the agenda formation?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to propose that we send a message to David Ray Griffin and Elizabeth Woodworth as directors or whatever you want to call them of the Consensus 9/11 Commission, asking them to change the use of the word attacks on their website because it reinforces the official 9/11 story. And I've composed a letter, which I would like to propose. I don't know if this is like the if this is not the best forum to have sort of dropped this at the last minute, whether I should have sent it out a couple weeks ago, whatever.
I'll put your item before announcements, and then you can bring it up there. We'll give you 5 minutes and see how people feel about it. Okay.
Okay.
Well, why don't you just propose a change to the agenda? Because that sounds to me like it's going to probably take more than 5 minutes. Isn't that what you want, Craig? A change to the agenda and add yourself to the agenda?
Well, I want an actual. Yeah,
that's what we're doing, Sheila. We've just agreed to put Craig's item on the agenda after your item.
Yeah, 5 minutes,
okay?
I don't think is enough.
Well, okay. Then why don't you make an amendment to that?
Okay. I propose that we put Craig on the agenda for 10 minutes.
Okay. Any objection to 10 minutes for Craig? Hearing none, then Craig will have 10 minutes to make his proposal and for relevant discussion before announcement. Okay. Any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none, then we will take the agenda as approved, as modified, and proceed with the question of the Honegger Marcus debate, which was scheduled for tonight, but cannot take place tonight because Barbara Honegger was not able to get her paper published in time. Would anybody like to suggest what we do with this item? This is the second time it's been rescheduled, by the way.
Just sign it when she gets back to you and tells her she's ready. Wait until she tells you she's ready and then go ahead and sign it.
Okay, so there's a proposal that we put this as, we postpone this item until Barbara Honegger lets us know that she's ready. Is there any objection to that arrangement? Hearing no objections, then we'll take that as our way of proceeding with this item. I'll let Barbara know that we're waiting for word from her, and at that point we can put it back on the agenda.
So basically, at this point, we're just dropping it until further notice.
We postpone. The language is postponed. Okay, it's postponed until Barbara lets us know she's ready. So at that point, it will automatically go back on the schedule. That's the proposal. Okay. Any objections to that? Okay. Hearing none, then that we'll just dismiss that item from the agenda for tonight and move on.
Is new on the call? Can I add the name?
I'm sorry?
I think we just had a new person join the call.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else is on the call, please?
Robin Horton just checked in because my other phone dropped out.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thanks, Robin.
All right. The next item is Don Masserlian's request for acceptance of 9/11 Truth Proclamation. Don made the request last week, but it was suggested and agreed that he give people the opportunity to read it beforehand. He sent the links, which were forwarded with the draft agenda, so everyone should have had a chance to read the 9/11 Truth Proclamation. And Don, you want to go ahead and motivate it?
Yeah, I just want to ask one question. Is everyone on the call on the listserv that's here, or who is not on the listserv? Maybe that's a better way to put it. Is there anyone on the call that is not on the listserv?
Yeah, this is Duane Dietz. I'm not on the listserv.
Okay, Duane, you did send me an email. You were the only one that did. Did I give you sufficient information that you could check everything out?
What's that again?
Well, I said that I answered your email. I said, were you able to check things? Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Shall I go ahead?
Could I interrupt Barry Zwicker in Toronto? It's a really technical question. When I clicked on the links, the first one is the SovNews.com front page and so on.
That was a mistake. The place to click on is when I sent to the listserv. There were things, there were errors in the original one. That's why I called Ken and I said I want to get everything straightened out. So I sent it to everyone on the listserv. Are you on the listserv?
I am indeed, but I...
All right, I sent an answer on March 29th. Why don't I just read that and then we can go ahead, and if there's any questions, you can ask it at the end. Will that be all right, just so I get
That's
started?
That's great, yeah. If it's short and so on, that'll be perfect.
Well, I've got 10 minutes. I'd like to get started. Okay?
I think
so
we
have
started.
If you would just bear with me until I get through this, all right?
Just to clarify, you don't have 10 minutes. Your item has 10 minutes, okay? Others have an opportunity to participate, too. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, fine. All right. How much time do I have?
Well, you should take normally about a minute or two to motivate your item, and then we should have an opportunity to discuss it and then see how we want to...
If I can get started, I think we've gone through many minutes so far. All right, let me get going. I'm going to read from the letter that I was sent to the listserv, and everyone is on this call is on a listserv. The first point is, one, the following 9/11 Truth Proclamation should be reviewed by all before being voted next month, that's tonight, for endorsement by the 9/11 teleconference group. Then I give you the correct website, which was not in the minutes, and that was www.voicesofsafety.com/pogonews/petitions/2008-02. Please complete the following survey and send to me. I gave the email address. I accept the 3 points of evidence in the proclamation that prove that the collapse of the Twin Towers and Building 7 were most probably caused by controlled demolitions. Yes or no? 2, I endorse the 9/11 Truth Proclamation. Yes or no? Name and phone number. Not one person returned that, but that's okay. We're going to vote. That's the first thing. So has everyone looked at who received this message? Since you're all on the listserv, did anyone look at the 9/11 Truth Proclamation? Or is there anyone on the call that didn't? Let me put it that way. Who did not read the 9/11 Truth Proclamation?
Barry's written on the call.
The question's really out of order. Okay.
Okay. Then let's
what we're doing now. We're really talking about the question of whether or not we accept the 9/11 Truth Proclamation. Okay. Whether people chose to read it or not is really not the point. Okay.
Well, okay, all right. Then there's two parts to what I want to present today. The second part two is New Jersey has mandated the teaching of 9/11 terrorism. I want to cover that after this. So probably what I'm asking for now is first, does everyone know what's in the 9/11 truth?
God, I'm sorry. That part two is not on the agenda today. You would have to have added that, okay? We're only talking about the 9/11 Truth Proclamation today, okay? That's all you have.
All right, then I'll bring it up under the other part. All right, okay. Then I'd like to summarize what's in the 9/11 Truth Proclamation, the three indisputable points of evidence, and using the...
This is Duane Dietz. Can I just raise an objection to that statement?
Well, why don't you give me a chance to finish talking without anyone interrupting?
Duane, is your objection a point of order, or did you just want to make a comment? Because if it's a comment,
well,
you have to wait.
I don't know when the appropriate time is, but the very statement that it's indisputable, there are people within the truth movement that dispute it. So you can't say it's indisputable.
I haven't. Number one, not one person has answered the email I say. Number two, I haven't even had a chance tonight to summarize the 3 points. And number three, everyone's interrupting, and I would like the courtesy of everyone remaining silent until I finish what I have to say.
Okay, Don. I'm gonna Don. I'm gonna answer your question this way. You've already had about 8 minutes, and you've had the floor for 8 minutes. Okay, just to let you know that.
I've had eight minutes of everyone interrupting and not giving me a chance to speak.
No, that's not true, Don. You've been speaking 90% of the time. Okay, so the bottom line is finish your summary, but we need to let others have a chance. We need to save some time for others to speak also, so please make it very quick.
That's fine, but let them speak after I make my summary. Here's the summary, real quick. The indisputable evidence is, one, the recorded explosions from the seismograph from buildings 1 and 2 occurred 14 and 17 seconds before the FAA stated time the plane hits. That's indisputable. That's the facts that are given. Number two, the law of gravity is indisputable. The buildings came down in approximately 3 fire time. That's indisputable. Indisputable point three is evidence of nanothermite was found in the dust of the Twin Towers. That's indisputable. Now, who wants to dispute what's indisputable?
Okay, then you're giving the floor up. Duane, go ahead.
The very statement that something is indisputable, it begs for people to say, I dispute that.
Well,
and
dispute it. Dispute the three things I said, Duane.
No. Others don't get it. You can't interrupt Duane. He has a right to finish what he's saying.
The seismic record... various people in the truth movement claim that that is saying different things. Some people claim that that is evidence that the buildings didn't ever hit the ground. Other people are saying different things.
The time an explosion is recorded is a time an explosion is recorded. The time...
Order.
I don't agree with the word indisputable. Over.
Okay.
All right, what do you want me to say? I'll take out the word indisputable. Let's say scientific points of evidence, okay, or documented points of evidence. All right, if you don't like the word indisputable, fine. We'll pick another word. But it's something that cannot be argued is what I'm giving you because it's fact. All right, so
the meaning of it can be argued, but
does anyone argue that what I said is false? Let me ask that. Let's have someone pick on me for that. Go ahead. Go ahead. What have I said that's not factual?
You've got time lags between the sensor and the location. That makes it disputable because the time between it being recorded and the time it happening could be different
This is Ken. Hold it. Duane, he's offered to take out the word indisputable. Okay, so we're no longer talking about being indisputable.
I'm taking it out. All right.
Okay.
Point of order.
So what I'd like to do is propose that we vote.
Point of order. Who had the point of order?
Yeah, Robin, the issue is the vote.
That's right. I'd like to, but before taking the vote, I wanted to make sure that everyone agrees that what I presented is fact and scientific fact. Law of gravity, S equals I have GT squared. I don't think there's anyone on this call that wants to argue with me on that. The fact that they
discussed... Don is asking, does anybody disagree with these points? No, Don, because the time is up for this item.
Go ahead.
The time is up for this item, so I think it's fair that Don has asked this question. He wants an answer. Does anybody disagree with these claims as factual on the 9/11 Truth Proclamation? That was his question.
I don't agree with him.
Yeah, okay. That's not the point. The point is there is some disagreement, and that's what you asked. You asked whether there was any disagreement. There appears to be some.
Well, I want to know what the disagreement is. I mean, I wanted him to disagree on the fact
point
that
of order.
I
said
it.
Yeah, go ahead. Point of order.
Point of order is this is a vote. If he wants to discuss it, bring it up next time.
Oh, no, you always take a discussion before you vote. Always.
That's true.
Discussion.
Yeah, no, you're both right. Okay. Hold it. You're both right, okay? The bottom line is we've adjusted the time for discussion. So now we either move it to a vote or we postpone it, okay? Or we move to extend time. Those are our options. Would anybody like to make a motion regarding how to proceed with this item?
I would like to make a motion.
Go ahead, Doug.
The motion is that since what has been presented is factual evidence, then I move that we vote on the factual evidence, and once and for all that we agree that what's been presented there is acceptable to everyone on this call.
So you're basically moving to put it to a vote without further discussion,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, because I mean...
Okay, does anybody have an objection?
That's fine.
Does anybody have an objection to voting on this without further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote. We'll try a voice vote and see how that goes, and if that doesn't work, then we'll take a roll call vote. All in favor of accepting the 9/11 Truth Proclamation amended to exclude the word indisputable, aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 Nay. Nay.
Okay, the nays have it.
Thank you for a kangaroo court, all of my buddies out there. This is why this place is, the organization is going
okay,
to
Don,
order.
Don,
you can't
so be gracious.
On a
be gracious. Don, be gracious,
well,
please.
After how you've treated me?
Well,
you
don't win them all, okay? We all, you know, that's when you put a proposition
I
up.
Like
it can
win,
be,
I like to do things in a fair manner. Today... You've had since March 29th to read what I presented. Everyone had the opportunity to answer me. Not one of you showed the courtesy of returning an answer to my email, and yet you're all voting against me. That's a kangaroo court. That's a kangaroo.
We have to move on. We have to move on to the next item. Thank you, Don. Okay. The next item is review and discussion of Kevin Ryan's recent post on Washington's blog, Secret Service Failures on 9/11, A Call for Transparency, which was posted on March 25th, 2012. Now, this is your item. We got 10 minutes to discuss it. You want to lead us off? Ned, are you here, Ned? If Ned Delaney's not here, then we'll have to get this item. It's his item. Unless the body would like to discuss it in his absence, it's up to
Robin. Robin would be on the stack on that. Just an overview.
Robin, go ahead.
Yes, it's my position that this is an absolutely fertile and tremendous subject to keep on the front, not back burner, as we move ahead. I think that the Secret Service, not only conduct and behavior, which is somebody else's specialty, but actually their facilities and their capacity to observe and eventually defend, or not, the airspace around Washington, D.C. is very critical. This is a great avenue. A little bit of background, I'm doing an awful lot of work every week on analyzing a lot of the radar, procedural, facilities, capabilities, of what the Secret Service had to had as resources to observe what was going on, not only in Washington, D.C. proper, but in X number of radius miles away from Washington, D.C., which I think is well beyond the little meme that has been given us about 50 miles out. My suspicion, insofar it's been substantiated, is that it's well beyond, the Secret Service has been well beyond the 50 miles out issue here, and that the 50 miles out is a red herring. So I just want to make the point that this subject should be front burner, not a priority over anything else, but let's not dismiss it. Very important.
Before you go ahead, why didn't somebody make a proposal to postpone this item until next week? Maybe Ned can come back and introduce it, and we can take it from there. Go ahead, Dwayne. You have the floor.
Well, I was 95% positive, but my, let's say, I was not pleased to see the Flight 77 be stated as if it was not something that there was an issue with. I would prefer to have it be somewhat questionable in the way it was stated. Over.
Okay, any other comments on Kevin Ryan's post for this week? Does anybody want to make a proposal what to do with this?
This is Robin Horton. I would absolutely make a motion to postpone this discussion until the proponent of this follows through. Next month. This is a good subject.
Okay. Move to postpone until the teleconference. Any objections? Hearing none, then it's postponed. I'll let Ned know that we did that so that he can make it a point to be here next time. Okay. That brings us up to the presentation of CIT evidence by Aldo Marcus with questions and answers following. I will need a timekeeper. Sheila, since you put this item on the agenda, would you like to do the timekeeping on the question and answer?
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay. Aldo will have 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes, to summarize the CIT evidence, and then we will have a 20-minute question and answer period during which question and or comment will be limited to 30 seconds, and Aldo's responses limited to 2 minutes each. Go ahead, Aldo.
I would ask somebody else, though, to keep track of the 20 minutes, because I'm going to be keeping track of the...
I'll keep track of the 20 minutes. Keep track of the over thing. I just need somebody to keep track of the individuals.
And how long did we say we were giving for question and answers?
20.
No, I mean for each question.
Oh, sorry, 30 seconds per question or comment, 2 minutes per response by Aldo.
Okay.
One question, is there any time for new subjects that can be discussed?
Yes. After we're done with announcements, if we have time left, we have open discussion of issues. And at that time,
because I brought up an issue at the last meeting, which was left out, and I covered it in the listserv. So that's, I would like to have that included. So I would make a motion that what I brought up last time.
You're out of order right now, Don. We're on a different subject, okay?
I'm always out of order. You know that, Ken.
You're close.
can I second that motion? Can I second that motion?
The motion to what?
That he's always out of order.
I'll third the motion, Ken.
All right, let's get back to where we were here. That's the presentation by Aldo and then the Q&A. So, Aldo, it's yours. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for having me, guys. Really quick, I'll try to make every point as quick as possible. Just wanted to give you guys a quick history of CIT. My history, you know, I was just like everybody else. You know, I learned about the truth through documentaries. Had obvious issues with, you know, that day, and had to, you know, kind of dig into it for myself. Through doing that, I got into, you know, some pretty heavy research. I was posting on lots of forums. And during that time, I actually met Craig Ranke, who I kind of brought into the fold and made him aware of much of you know, the different research surrounding 9/11, even separate from the Pentagon. But my main focus and interest was with the Pentagon attack, so I focused most of my attention there. Lots of theories, you know. I was, again, like everybody else, kind of just was in the dark and throwing stuff out there of what could have happened. But ultimately realized that theorizing was not going to get us anywhere. So we decided we needed to take a trip to Arlington, based on my suggestion. And I figured this is a great way that, you know, we could really get to the bottom of 9/11 more, you know, than just at the Pentagon with, you know, Shanksville and the hijackers and so on. During that time, I was posting on the Loose Change Forum and caught the attention of Dylan Avery. And we became close and, you know, started talking, started working together. I let him know about my idea to go out to Arlington. And he was already planning a trip out there, so we decided to kind of do it together. And he kind of piggybacked his stuff with us and was going to, you know, videotape or film us doing our thing and any discoveries that we made. Our first trip to Arlington, if you guys, I just sent the images. I actually got my internet up, so if you guys could, if you guys do have the images in front of you, you can go to image number one. And,
excuse me, this is Dwayne. Have we got a site, a URL to go to?
No, I sent you guys an email in the group.
Oh, Dwayne's not on the telecon.
I'm not on the list.
Dwayne's not on the list, sir.
I'll forward it to you right now, Dwayne.
Okay.
I didn't get that either, so I'd like to know.
Same with me, Adam Syed.
No, Robin Horton didn't get it.
Yeah. Lorenzo did not either.
Oh, gosh. Sorry about that, guys. So you guys are not on the telecom, the listserv?
Here, Adam, I'll forward it to you.
Okay.
Sheila, why don't you forward it to me also? I'm on the list. I know what list I'm on.
I don't know you. I don't have your address.
Well, Ken can give it to you. So you want me to give it to you now?
No, because I don't want to interrupt all those presentations.
Oh, okay. So I wouldn't dare interrupt anybody else.
Although, can you make the point?
The point is that I'm
on the
list and I haven't gotten it.
All right. Well, the first image there is of the Sheridan. That'd be image number one. Image number 1A is the Navy Annex. There's actually should be an image of a plane superimposed on there to kind of give you an idea of the direction of where the plane was. And then image number 1B is the SICO. This general area is pretty much where we had initially concentrated our efforts when we first went out there. And in doing so, we ended up at the SICO gas station, and obviously this would be the best place to find people who would have had a view of the plane in its last few seconds on the flight path. So keep in mind that at the time, I had actually had in the back of my mind the fact that Sergeant Legassi, one of the officers that we interviewed, had actually placed the plane on the north side, or said he was on the starboard side of the plane as he was refueling. So this placed the plane on the north side of the gas station, which, if you're, you know, an obvious Pentagon researcher, you know this is a huge bugaboo in the flight path and in the damage path. But we needed confirmation. So when we went to the SICO with Dylan Avery and another individual, we had spoke with the manager there at the SICO, and she came out, talked to us, and mentioned her employee who had seen the plane. And then we asked her specifically where he saw the plane, if she remembered, and she pointed to the north side. So we knew right then and there that there just got to be something to this north side flight path. So that's why we ended up following up with him when I got back. And then that would be Robert Tercios, the gas station employee. He also offered the pull-up, the ascent over the highway, which was also very critical in understanding that the plane flew over. If you guys go to image number two, that's the north side flight path versus the official flight path. And the yellow lines that you see there are actually the lines that the witnesses all drew. And then the path to the right, obviously the red path, is the official path. So so that gives you an idea of what we're talking about, why it's so crucial. And I actually meant to include an image that had the overlay of the ASCE damage, which all lines up with this red south path. The white poles, or the white dots, are the poles that were allegedly downed, and all the yellow ones are the ones that are not downed. And you can see where the plane was at, obviously, and where the witnesses all had it flying. It didn't come anywhere near any of the downed light poles. So this is why we were able to know that the poles had to have been staged. If you go to image number 3, it's just to give you a quick reference. When we discovered this initial information, we had actually gotten the, what I like to call the smoking gun witnesses, on our second trip. That would be Sergeant Legassi, Sergeant Brooks, Edward Pate, who was up at the auto shop next to the Sheraton, and Robert Tercios at the Sitco employee. When we came back, we tried to get this information into Loose Change Final Cut. And ultimately, most people don't know this, but we really wanted to remain anonymous. We really didn't want to get involved. We didn't want to be, you know, known for anything, you know, in regards to 9/11. And it was kind of a tough choice for us to finally come out once Dylan, you know, decided not to put the evidence into exchange. If you actually go to image number 4, you can see the witnesses all there, the smoking gun witnesses that we obtained on the second trip.
So you have just a little over 3 minutes left, Alda.
Okay, I'm getting almost there. Trip number 3, we got the Arlington Cemetery workers. That's image number 5. And image number 5A and 5B are actually Lloyd England. And that's the gentleman who was implicated by this Northside flight path. If you've watched our documentary or any of the other presentations we've had on this gentleman, you would know that he's also given us a virtual confession of involvement, which is very important. I mean, this is something that unfortunately is being overlooked by a lot of people right now. But this gentleman is a key to understanding or to knowing who was behind the event, as he's clearly photographed on the highway with shirt and tie, federal-looking type guys. Image number 6, if you go to image number 6, you've got an overhead image of the Pentagon in the parking lot area, and you'll see an area called East Loading Dock. And that's actually where we now believe Roosevelt Roberts was. If you listen to his interview with us, he specifically notes that he was at East Loading Dock and in the south parking lot, and that's where he saw the plane. Additional flyover evidence. A lot of people have been questioning us on additional flyover witnesses. If you go to image number 7, that'll give you a view of the ANC the view of the Pentagon from Arlington National Cemetery. There you have Eric Deal, who is a worker there. I believe he's one of the managers in the maintenance area. And he's got there's actually a piece in where he's on the Center for Military History giving his interview. And he specifically says that, quote, some people were yelling that a bomb hit the Pentagon and that a jet kept on going. This is directly reporting the flyover. Witness Maria de la Cerda, who was also at Arlington National Cemetery, she had thought that the plane had hit on the other side or on the top, and she was puzzled by the first floor side damage. Then you got WUSA reporter Dave Statter, who had spoke to witnesses who said that, quote, the pilot was trying to avert the building, and, quote, the plane went to the side of the building, not directly in. And again, when you're listening to him, he sounds perplexed. He's talking about the lack of debris and so on. One of the other major points that we had discovered was the DC flight path. If you go to image number 8, you could see get an idea of the actual flight path that the plane took into toward the Pentagon. It is not the NTSB image that you see there, but actually I believe it's a yellow color there that'll show you the plane actually flew over DC. And I had a bunch of references here to all the different witnesses, but I unfortunately don't have the time to get to it. But you got witnesses, you got ATC, you got FAA headquarters employees who visually spotted the plane north of them, north of the White House. You've got Steve Jaconis, who we interviewed on the river, who had the plane coming from the east side of the Potomac, excuse me.
Sorry, Aldo, that's your time there.
That's my time, okay. That's all right. I almost got it all in.
Well, can you do it all in 30 seconds or something?
If you go to image number 9, that was another discovery that we've made. We actually discovered the true flight path of the C-130, which they also manipulated. That was manipulated through the radar. And also image number 10 is just a reference to the black box data. The last altitude entry for the plane has it much too high to hit the building, and obviously you can see that it's a pretty outlandish feat that it has to perform in order to come in low and level, hit the first floor. So that stuff is more or less covered by Pilots for 9/11 Truth. Rob Balsamo was supposed to be on this call, or he was going to try to make it at least, but I don't think he did. So hopefully maybe we can have another call on that at another point.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aldo, for a succinct presentation. And now the floor is open for questions. Who would like to be on the stack for asking questions?
Robin,
I'll be on the stack.
I'd like to ask.
Robin, Sheila, who else?
Don. Craig.
Robin, Sheila, Don, yep. Craig, myself. Okay. Robin, Sheila, Don, Craig, myself. Go ahead, Robin.
Yes, one point of view from the research that I and some other researchers have been doing, and then one question for Aldo. Myself and other researchers have been doing in-depth analysis of the videotape, news reporting, audio, and personal sightings and photographs of E-4Bs flitting in and about Washington, D.C., at or during the attack time sequence, and there is absolutely no doubt that there were such aircraft. And
Robin, your time
were...
is up. That was 30 seconds.
Yeah, there were E-4Bs in Washington. There was actually two of them, and they weren't anywhere near the Pentagon enough to, you know, anywhere near it to cause any type of confusion. We do believe that it was, that they were put there to throw off people when they saw the plane come into D.C. skies. As far as what they were doing, you know, it's still open to theory. Obviously, they're part of the emergency contingency, so I don't know, you know, what they were really doing, but, you know.
I'll go at the end of the stack.
I'm sorry?
Lorenzo would like to staff, too.
Okay. Who is after? Who's next?
Me.
Lorenzo
Sheila.
Would like to be added to the
Sheila,
staff.
Sheila, yeah. Sheila, then Don, Craig, me, Lorenzo.
And Robin at the end.
Robin, okay.
Okay, I'm timing myself here. I'd actually just like to summarize something for the group because I don't know that Aldo had a chance to get to it. That what we're looking at here is that because the plane took a path which could not have caused the physical damage to the Pentagon and to the light poles and to the generator, that it's no way that the plane could have hit the building, the plane that was seen. A plane was definitely seen, but the plane that was seen could not have hit the building.
Absolutely.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and maybe obviously I didn't make that point maybe clear enough. I guess I kind of take for granted that people just know this stuff or assume. But yeah, this is really serious stuff. I mean, the second that all those witnesses pointed to the north side of the gas station, again unwittingly, it was the official story was done. It was over. And these were again all witnesses who thought they were supporting the official story. But went on camera and told their story. And then after the fact, once they learned the implications, they still stood by where they saw the plane, and some even stating that they would testify to it in a court of law. So this is evidence. This is, and to me, again, I've made the statement before, this is the first actual evidence proving an inside job unequivocally.
Okay. Don?
Yeah, the greatest loss of life was at the Twin Towers. The thing that's easiest to prove is the scientific evidence that tells the lie. Why are we concentrating so much on the Pentagon?
Well, I could say this, that, you know, with the towers, again, do you know who planted the bombs?
out of order.
It's not a question. No, it's a question of scientific evidence.
Well, I agree. And that's a completely separate question of whether it proves.
Wait, Aldo has the floor.
Point of order. Point of order. Go ahead.
My only point that I'm trying to make is simply that when you're questioning the reports and you're questioning the fact that, you know, they didn't investigate bombs and that, you know, it's obvious that it was brought down by bombs, what may end up happening is that they can go to the NIST and slap them on the wrist and say, oh, you guys didn't investigate bombs, and why didn't you investigate bombs? Clearly in 1993 they were attacked with bombs, so, you know, why didn't you, you know, and then it becomes a question, well, now who planted those bombs? And then they can shift the blame easily to Al-Qaeda, to Saudi Arabia. You know, I think you need that bolstering evidence that shows.
Well, the same can be done with the Twin Towers.
Wait a minute.
It's a two-way conversation, Ken. When I say
because we have a format here that was agreed to in the agenda that you get up to 30 seconds to ask your question. And
that's fine.
You don't get to come back and come back and come back.
I didn't get an answer to the question.
Then you put yourself back on the stack. You can put yourself back on the stack, but you can't. All right, I'll put you down at the bottom. Craig, you're next.
Yeah, Aldo, I just wondered if you could comment on evidence that would basically a light pole that would have been in the way of a north of Citgo path into the building, because I heard about that, and I just wanted you to clarify that whether we've confirmed that would be physically impossible in terms of obstacles in the way.
You mean as far as the north side plane?
Yeah, like people who claim that it still could have hit the building on the north side. I'm wondering if you know of, like, because I think I remember Craig Ranke saying this to me once that there were light poles that would have been in the way of that, and that the plane could not have gotten over those light poles and then hit the building.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If you go to image number 2, that kind of shows you that there. And I can even send a link to the group that zooms in specifically on those light poles, and we show photographs. It's actually a nice little slideshow that you can follow along with. If you go to image number 2, you'll see where the plane would be over those yellow light poles, and those yellow ones are the ones that were not touched, or I guess it's like a yellowish-green color. The poles were not touched, and you got to imagine the plane being over those light poles, you know, flying past the last light pole, and then, again, you've got witnesses who have the plane pulling up into an ascent right before it reached the Pentagon. So, you know, even just that alone should tell you that the plane didn't hit. But the fact is all of their damage, their data, their gate cam video, their damage path, their trailer, all that stuff, even a couple of the witnesses that we found suspect, there are a couple that specifically try, or at least there's one that doesn't actually say with his own, you know, doesn't say it on his own, but the ASCE report says it for him, specifically documenting that path. This witness later tells us that the plane was on a north path. So, you know, why he's lying or why he's not telling the truth, you know, it just remains to be seen right now. But the fact is that all of the damage is documented specifically and exclusively with a south path. There's no two ways about it. In order for that plane to come in low and level and skim across the lawn and show up like it does in that grainy surveillance video, it has to be on the south path, and there's no two ways about it. Now, if you want to try to argue that the plane could still impact on the north path, then I would love to see an animation that jives with the damage that we see there. It's just not feasible. I'd like to see an animation and some type of scale animation that shows, and you know, a plane being able to even do this, to be able to drop down to the ground from those untouched light poles and hit the first floor like that. Because you're going to have that descent, that angle of descent that you don't see in the gate cam video, and that is required by that low-level damage path.
Great, thanks.
Okay.
Sheila, back on the back.
Hi, this is Sheila. Okay, I want to go on the back.
Who?
Paul.
Paul, okay, I'll put you on the stack ahead of Don because you haven't gone yet. Okay. I'm next. Let's see. We're going to your paper, Aldo, that you published earlier this week. There's a 757 part that you affirm is part of a 757, although others stated had previously apparently erroneously stated that it was not part of a 757 that was found in the Pentagon. And I just wondered how you account for that. I mean, what is your personal explanation for why that part is there in the Pentagon?
I think you're assuming. I mean, you're referring to the rotor, right? You're not referring to that combustion.
Yes. Tape. Yes.
Okay.
Well, no. I think it is the part, the round part that.
The hole in the side.
Yeah. Yeah.
The round hole in the side. Yeah. That is a 757 part. It's part of the combustion case. As far as how I explain it, you know, first I'd like to even know if the photos are genuine, because most people don't know that those images were only released on Rents.com. They were never, ever, and they still have not ever been
I'm sorry, repeat that. I didn't hear that. They're only released where?
They were only released on Rents.com by a lady named Sarah Roberts, who no one knows who she is, but she got a hold of these photos and put them out there. I later found out who that photographer was. Allegedly, is a gentleman named Leo Titus, who was part of the rescue and recovery efforts. But he also did not want to be associated or identified with the pictures. He's the gentleman who took them. So, you know, how do I explain them? I mean, they're planted, or the photos were taken somewhere else. I mean, that would implicate Leo Titus, but I'm not going to go there. I would say that most likely they were just planted there and waiting to be blown up. Again, that whole area was under renovation and was scheduled to be finished that week of 9/11. So most of that area was unoccupied, and there was plenty of spaces, I'm sure, to plant debris to be blown up and found later.
Thank you. Lorenzo, you're next.
Great, thanks. Aldo,
yes.
If I recall correctly, one eyewitness reported that it was a commuter jet and not an airliner. It was a smaller aircraft. Another part of this question would be, why are images of 757s or 767s still being used on the north flight path? And another part has to do with eyewitness testimony, which a lot of which occurred after the news reported that it was a large passenger aircraft. And then one more comment regarding the diffuser case. I've heard testimony that it was not part of any engine that was used on that particular.
I'm sorry, the time is up for a question.
Okay, let me see if I can get all these. The small commuter plane. There was only a handful of witnesses who mentioned that. Most of them, you know, if you actually study where they were located, they were really far away. You know, a couple of the other ones that were closer, they never wanted to speak. One of them was Steve Girard, who ends up working for the Department of Justice. I confronted him about his claims about, you know, seeing a small white plane, no markings and all that, and he became very evasive and didn't want to talk about it. So, you know, the amount of witnesses we've interviewed, there's no question it was a large airliner-sized plane. There's no question. So, you know, all I can say is that these people are either mistaken or they were thrown out there to, you know, put this information out there to kind of, you know, have people spin in their wheels, which is exactly what happened, because a lot of people went on the tangent with, and including me. I mean, I followed the breadcrumbs for the small plane and the Global Hawk and the A3 Sky Warrior and all that, which brings me to my next point, which is what you mentioned about the diffuser case. The diffuser case, it's not, you're referring to a diffuser case for a JTAD, which this individual, Carl Schwartz, claimed came from an A3 Sky Warrior. Well, the A3 Sky Warrior is not equipped with a JTAD. They're old, antiquated planes. There's nothing there. I was one of the people who was going hard on trying to match these parts myself, and even, you know, partially believing Carl Schwartz. But the more I investigated, the more I verified it, he absolutely 100% was wrong. And, you know, I personally believe it was disinformation. I believe he was an infiltrator, as controversial as it sounds. But a lot of people wasted a lot of time, and a lot of people's hopes were deflated once they learned there was, you know, this stuff went into loose change, for crying out loud. So, you know, I was one of the people trying to convince Dylan to take it out because it was bad info. So, yeah.
Good. Thanks, Alvin.
Okay. Robin, you're next.
I thought I was next. Paul.
Yeah, to finish
up. Robin, you wanted me on the stack, didn't you, Robin?
Hello?
Yeah, no, Robin was ahead of you, Paul, but then you're after Paul, after Robin. Go ahead, Robin.
Finish got my point about the research I'm doing regarding the radar around Washington, D.C. from Dulles, DCA, Andrews, the planes radar site. None of the E-4B not all of the E-4B activity was shown on radar, and it should have been. So it leads me to believe that the radar information that we're getting is just as fraudulent as the FDR information. But
I agree.
But I do have a question directly, Aldo, for this, and that is how much of your analysis, I asked this to Craig once, and I'm not sure of his answer, but how much of your analysis dependent upon the PBR, the Pentagon Building Performance Report?
I don't know how to really answer that other than that's their story. That is their story. So they've documented the damage. They've presented a video alongside that to document that damage. We've got numerous accounts of, you know, different people referencing nose gear and nose cone and remnants of a nose at the ring exit hole. So the ASCE report is their story, and that's why we use that to show that the plane obviously couldn't hit if it's on the north path.
Okay. Now, Paul, go ahead.
Yes, Aldo, first of all, I want to congratulate both you and Craig Ranke for all the work you've done. I mean, this is an amazing piece of primary research. I have a bit of an idea of how much work it took and cost and so forth and so on to get it done. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Have an unfair question. However, I would just like to ask you, what do you think is the least picture? Let me say it again. What's the least strong? I know I'd prefer you not to say everything's solid. I would like you to expose any weakness you see in your...
If I could point out any weaknesses, it would probably be, well, I mean, it would probably be things that have happened in the past, like, you know, not being able to follow up. I would have probably handled Roosevelt Roberts differently. You know, not making him aware of the implications, although at the time I thought, you know, he's got a right to know because he's one of the key witnesses. But I would say, it's tough because we've just done so much. We've tried so hard. You know, people try to say that we never go out and look for flyover witnesses, but that's absolutely not true. Craig's been through the Pentagon parking lot, you know, as people are walking into work. You got to keep in mind, on 9/11, at that time, at 9:37 or whatever it was, everybody was already inside the Pentagon. So the parking lot, for the most part, was empty, other than their cars. But he got no response from anybody there. He went to the marina. He wasn't able to find anybody there. He went to the surrounding areas, you know, where he could, and it was tough. So we've had to just look for clues of people who have seen who've seen something, and we think that they're referring to the flyaway plane. They're referring it to as another plane, but, you know, those are the people we've followed up on. So right now I'd have to say, you know, not me personally, I think not going aggressively enough after more witnesses. I think, you know, we should have been out there more, you know, going after more people, but people that are listed rather. Other than that, I mean, I think we've done really the best we could do, and we've given you guys the golden egg, so it's just up to you guys to run with it, because these witnesses are still alive. They're still walking around. There's, you know, some of them are uncooperative because they're scared, but, you know, it's not our problem that they saw what they saw, and it's best that they do come forward and that they do, remain public and in the spotlight.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've got two more people on the stack, but we have exhausted our time for questioning. Is there any objection to letting Don and Sheila have one more question each? If not, I'll proceed to let Don ask the quick question, and then Sheila. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, Bill Rodriguez is a member of this group. Bill Rodriguez testified before the 9/11 Commission that explosions occurred in the basement, Tower 1, before the plane hit far above. That testimony was never in the 9/11 Commission. Is there any reason why you prefer to go with the Pentagon rather than to use the model of the obvious lies about all the scientific evidence to the Twin Towers, where the greatest lives were lost, almost 3,000 people. Is there any reason why you would rather stick with the Pentagon rather than putting your...
Your time is up for a question.
Yeah, well, I personally, I like to see them brought together, you know, side by side, actually along with even the Shanksville evidence, as well as the hijacker anomalies, as well as all the data and, you know, black box and radar issues. You know, I like it all to be out there, but, you know, you're going to ask me about what proves that it was an inside job, like, without a question, that would be the Pentagon. It's like what we've
I don't believe it. I believe that when I
got... No, turn the talk now.
The point remains I agree with you guys. I'm 100% with you, Don. I know the towers were brought down by some type of customer.
Well, why don't we put our eggs on that instead of worrying about the Pentagon?
How could you possibly know?
Don, you've had your question. He's had an answer. Now it's Sheila's turn. Go ahead, Sheila.
I didn't get an answer on that.
I just said that they should be brought together side by side. I think that obviously the towers were brought down by some type
of... Yeah, that's an answer. Thank you. Sheila, your turn.
Yeah, I just I wanted to say a couple things. I'm kind of regretful that a couple of people never asked a question, George Ripley and James Hufford. I know we're on the line and on the listserv. They've been trying to really poke holes in all those research, and I was really hoping they'd use this opportunity to get their questions answered. The other thing I want to say is that one thing that the CIT research really answered for me, which is a question that many of us had, was why did the plane not simply dive bomb the Pentagon, because it looks like a bullseye from the air.
Time's up, Sheila.
Answers it for me. Oh, okay, sorry. I forgot to time myself on that one.
Yeah, I'll just comment on it really quick. Yeah, that's an obvious thing. You got to keep in mind this plane came in. He could have made that left, at least according to their official NTSB path. The plane, and even on the DC approach, the plane could have went straight into the top of the Pentagon. And if these guys were supposedly on top of their research, they would have known where the top brass is at and where they should have hit. But yeah, the plane did this turn, this, you know, fairly fast turn after it passed the C-130, and then wrapped around. And then came in at virtually, you know, treetop level, and slowed down just enough to make that banking turn, and then came in on the north path, and then pulled up and flew erratically, you know, flew away, looking like some type of errant airliner from Reagan, which is what one of the excuses were for people claiming that there was a second plane over the Pentagon at the time of the explosion.
Okay, thank you, Aldo. Thank you all for the. A very civilly conducted presentation and question and answer period, and that concludes it for today. And thank you, Aldo, for all that evidence there was. Now we're ready for Craig's proposal. Go ahead, Craig. You have 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, what I'll do to give time for discussion, I'll just read the letter that I composed. It pretty much explains my position. I feel like there are a lot of people in the truth movement who throw words around without really thinking about what they suggest and how they would be received by somebody that was not well informed about the facts. So, and the consensus group and the website is a very guilty party of this. So, my letter says, "Dear David and Elizabeth, we at the 9/11 teleconference group are concerned with the use of certain problematic terminology on the consensus 9/11 website. Specifically, the use of the word attack is, we believe, harmful in that it reinforces the official story of 9/11 in the minds of most members of the public and the mainstream media. The media have been repeating the terms attacks and terrorist attacks for the last decade. And in most people's minds, these terms are synonymous and refer to attacks against the United States by an outside group. There is very little chance this perception will change in the near future, and we see little value in trying to change it. Therefore, using attacks is counterproductive and unnecessary. The lexicon of the 9/11 truth movement should reflect the fact that a false flag operation was carried out that was intended to look like an attack, but it wasn't. It was a deception. Now I have in quotation marks, "The events of 9/11, close quote, is a neutral term. So is, open quote, the crimes of 9/11, close quote. Whether or not you can make the argument that attack can be technically correct, the fact is we're dealing with perception. Consequently, the 9/11 teleconference group calls on you in the interest of encouraging a better understanding of 9/11 by the public and the media to use a truly neutral term that doesn't reinforce the official story and that doesn't make the work of the 9/11 truth movement more difficult. We look forward to receiving your response to this letter and to the positive changes we hope you will make as a result. Sincerely, the 9/11 teleconference group.
This is Dwayne.
I'll yield my time from there.
Okay, would anyone like to comment?
Barry Zwicker in Toronto like to.
Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, and a little technical thing. Boy, the sound is really bad up here in my phone. I don't know if other people are experiencing this. But anyway, I was able to hear it, and I want to completely agree with Craig's every word. And I would add that this is as far as you can get from so-called splitting hairs or just playing with semantics. This is absolutely central. The wordage used to describe something. And I would say from my background in the media, there are really two pillars of effective communication. Effective communication, not necessarily true or false, but effective. And the two pillars are persuasiveness and repetitiveness. And so on the persuasiveness side, you have this iconic coming down of the towers and the Pentagon fraud story, and then you've got endless repetitiveness of the term terrorist attack. And absolutely 99 out of 100 people around the world would consider that means an enemy attack. Just as we said, either the attack on Pearl Harbor or the enemy attack on Pearl Harbor, whether the term enemy is understood or is actually stated outright, enemy, an outside enemy, is absolutely implied in the term attack or terrorist attack. So any time that we use those terms in regards to 9/11, we are actually doing the work of the perpetrators, and I don't think we want to.
This is
Dwayne. Would like to speak?
Yes, this is James.
Go ahead, Dwayne, and then James.
I'm going to abstain from any discussion on this since I'm a panel member. I only recently appreciated that we were not supposed to talk about consensus business among panel members. I just thought it was on particular points, but now I realize that it's on all panel business, so I will abstain since there are other panel members on the call. Over.
Okay. James?
Well, I think that Barry's point is very good and essential, and I think that adding that point to the wording that Craig suggested before it's sent to David and Elizabeth would help the whole tone of the communication very much and be much better received, because he's pointing out that we're not just talking about splitting hairs here, but this is an important point. So I would like to, I don't know how to do this, but I would like to move that the essential point that Barry made be added to the message that's sent to David and Elizabeth.
Okay, tell you what, James, we should then take up this as a motion to amend, but I wanted to say something about the problem of approving this in the absence of, giving people a heads up before the conference. So that's another issue that we're going to have to tackle before we approve it anyway. Can we put your amendment on hold for a moment, give Robin a chance to speak, and then I'll speak?
Sure.
Thank you. Robin?
Yes, I concur with establishing the concept of false flag operations, a point well made by you guys up in Canada. But I was actually going to bring up in the free speech part of this whole thing about whether it is wise now, and I don't know, whether it is wise now to commingle the events on 9/11 with the anthrax activities. I see them as one, okay? And I think there may be some mileage that might be gained from cleverly integrating those two, and obviously, I support very much what Barry and Craig are saying. So.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to speak very quickly on the formal aspect of this. I think whenever we are going to take a position as a group, a formal position on anything, that information needs to be sent out in advance of our decision to do so. And because that wasn't done here, I think it would be inappropriate for us to approve this on behalf of the call when some callers may not be here that would have been here if they'd known we were considering this, if everybody gets my gist on that. So what I'm going to suggest is since James would like this text amended anyway, that we agree to approve this in spirit if there aren't any objections, and with the minutes, send out a request with the final copy that will be amended in the meantime to anyone who may have an objection. If anyone has an objection, any of our regular callers, then we will. I suggest that we need to postpone consideration until the next meeting on this. If there are no objections, once it is sent out in final form with the minutes, and we draw attention to the fact that it has been approved provisionally, then I think we would be free to send it on behalf of the call. Does anybody have an objection to moving forward that way?
Yes, I
Robin,
do. I think we should take a vote tonight.
Robin here on the fact.
I'm sorry. Okay, Sheila and Robin.
Barry?
I think we should have it sent out to everyone before we...
Wait a minute. That's been Sheila, then Robin. Who's speaking?
I'm
a stack. It's not Sheila. Okay, Sheila, Robin, then Don. Go ahead, Sheila.
Well, I would prefer to see a vote taken tonight. I think I understood it well enough just from hearing him read it. I totally agree with what he said, and I don't like the way things tend to lag on month after month sometimes on this conference. I'd rather just get things done. So since I understand it and I'm ready to vote, I would rather we just go ahead and vote.
Paul on the stack, please.
Okay, Robin, Don, and Paul.
Okay, who's next, Paul? Okay.
Robin is next.
Yes, this is Robin. My concern here, Ken, is that the only information I ever get from this group is your monthly emailing about the minutes. So I'd like to have it included in the minutes so that I could actually read it, and then I could have a competent answer and response. Also, I do think that it would be due diligence on our part to consider commingling the anthrax and the events of 9/11. Over.
Okay, well, there's actually
Could I be added after Paul?
Yeah, Barry, I'll put you in after Paul. There are two actual motions to amend that are pending here. Go ahead, Don, you're next.
I agree with the previous speaker that it definitely should go in the minutes so everybody has a chance to be. It's an important thing we're considering. I don't think it should be voted on tonight.
Okay, thank you. And then Paul?
Yeah, I actually have the same feeling. I would disagree with Sheila. It's not a question of whether she is ready to vote. It's a question of people who are not previously informed of this vote. And if we send it out, that's in the draft form, then everybody knows what is at stake. And we can do, like you said, a straw vote or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Can I get in at some point? Craig?
Okay, then Barry is next. Thank you, Paul. Barry?
Yeah, so I agree with Paul and Don and Robin. I'm as ready as Sheila to vote, of course. I've been beating this drum for 10 years, but I think that it'd be better to have it in writing in the minutes of the next month's meeting, and because it's been going on so long, one more month, I don't think it's an indefinite delay, one more month won't hurt and should help.
Okay, then that brings us back to the question of the two different amendments. The first amendment proposal was James, that it would...
I could maybe save you, I don't know if this would save you the time, but I would like to, is it okay if I have the floor for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Kurt.
I was just going to say I'll withdraw the motion because I think what I've heard, and I appreciate Sheila's support, and I definitely appreciate that and everybody else's comments, but I think I would be quite willing to take that extra time and to hear suggestions from anybody in the group and to, you know, get some of those ideas that Barry mentioned at the beginning, you know, in there. So I would be willing to do that.
Okay, well, all right, then the motion's been withdrawn, and, I'm sorry, Paul?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment, though. It should be in the minutes of this meeting that goes out so people have adequate time. We don't wait until 4 days before the next conference.
Right.
Right. But the problem is that there have been two motions to amend the text, okay? And that's what I'd like to come back to very quickly here. James suggested that that Barry's ideas would be incorporated, and then there was the question of the anthrax issue also being incorporated. Could I take a straw poll, please, of people on the call as to whether they agree with both of those amendments? Proposals, or is there any objection to both of those amendments?
Just a point of order. I don't know if a straw poll was taken. It's Barry here in Toronto. I just literally didn't hear what was. I got the anthrax one, but I because of the bad sound, I didn't hear what the first one is.
James, can you repeat what you were requesting be incorporated in the text?
Yes, I simply requested that the thought, the idea that Barry presented about after all we're not splitting hairs here, but we're talking about something very essential and important be added to the communication that goes to David and Elizabeth. Because I think that helps the tone very much. Otherwise, I'm afraid they're going to just think, "Oh, this is really niggledy, the nickel and dime stuff." But it isn't, and I think that needs to be pointed out.
Okay. Are there any objection to either of those amendment proposals? That the text be amended.
Yes,
Sheila. Sheila, go ahead.
I object to including anything about anthrax. I can't see how that's going to help. This is we're talking
okay.
here about.
Okay. Is there any objection to James's amendment? Okay. Then James.
Craig. I have no problem with the spirit of what he's saying. Although I think that idea is in the letter, but I'm quite open to improving the presentation. I don't think what he's suggesting we add in is something that isn't in there. But I think, you know, we can improve the way it's
written. Okay, you're willing to tweak it in that direction, in other words. Okay, Sheila's objecting to the Second Amendment, so we need to discuss this very quickly and make a decision.
Barry here.
The question now is simply on the question of including anthrax in this proposal.
Yeah, Barry here.
Barry, go ahead.
Yeah, I really agree with Robin. The terminology you read in the mainstream media is always the anthrax attacks. And so the term attacks is completely self-defeating, as I said earlier, and actually does the job of the perpetrators, whether it refers to the Pentagon attack or the anthrax attacks, or, as it's put a billion times in the media, the September 11th attacks. So it's the word attacks, or the phrase terrorist attacks, that's objectionable here. I think Craig will agree. And so I just want to say that I agree.
Okay, so you're still in support of the amendment, and would anybody like to speak against the amendment?
Okay, I would say then based on what Barry has said, I withdraw my objection because I didn't really understand what the proposal
was. Oh, okay, he was on the objection. Okay, very good. So it sounds like we have consensus that can be included as an example of the use of the word attack, but we're not actually making a new issue here. And therefore, both of those amendments are within the spirit of the consensus. And what I understand that would probably work best here is if between now and the time the minutes are the draft minutes are sent out, that Craig tweak this and to include both of these items, and then include it in the minutes with the statement that it was given consensus support by the callers on this call, but we understand that because it wasn't sent out in advance, that others have a right to object before we act on it. So, is that agreeable to everybody?
Yep.
Yep.
Ken, can I just say one quick thing? It's Craig. Did the anthrax attack thing get mentioned on the consensus website? Because if it didn't, then it seems like it's a bit outside the scope of the letter. I totally agree that we shouldn't use that word there, but since we're specifically approaching Griffin and Woodworth, that seems like an important point to me.
It has not been. It has not been.
Robin on the fact. Robin?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Robin, go ahead. Can you answer that?
Yes. I probably didn't make myself clear. I was actually seeking the general wisdom of the people on this teleconference, whether or not we should consider the concept of commingling these two. I didn't really mean to jump what Craig was proposing, okay, because I think that's too soon. All I'm saying is the reason I mentioned it with what Craig's proposal was, because we are dealing with the word attack, okay, and I thought that was a good entry point for me to say, look, I'm just sort of curious about whether or not, since we're redefining what went on 9/11 as a false flag operation versus attack, that we broaden the whole thing, because I look at the events on 9/11, the anthrax situation, and the Patriot Act, okay, all as a black op, okay? And I'm not bringing that subject up to change what Craig has written. I was simply seeking the wisdom of the people here. I think that we can combine this whole thing into something, a message that's much more communicative than what we've got going, which Barry eloquently exposed as, attack versus, vis-a-vis enemy. I'm on it. He's right. Craig's right.
Yeah, Barry here again. Might I just add one quick thing?
Go ahead,
Barry. Sure. I think that there's a way around this that would satisfy everybody, I'm hoping, and that is that although it's correct what Craig says, that the anthrax, quote, attacks, unquote, are not part of the consensus points yet, as far as I know. They may never be, or they may be. But in what Craig tweaks, he can include the term anthrax attacks as an example of the terrible use of any term regarding 9/11 that includes the word attacks. So it can be, as it were, it can be included that way, and it would perhaps satisfy Robin. I think the Patriot Act, though, would be another thing, because the misuse of language is not exactly the same as black op, although bad language can support and cover up black ops. But I think that the anthrax attacks, misusage of that term, could be brought in as an example, as I say, of the general bad usage of the term attacks in anything concerning 9/11, and that would be appropriate to draw to David and Elizabeth's attention.
Yeah, I think that was the way that we formulated it, was that it would just be used as an example of why the word attacks is inappropriate. Not that we would be opening it up as a separate item or commingling it or anything like that. So if that's okay with everybody, then we'll just move ahead that way. Craig, you can get with maybe Barry if you want, and you know, just tweak it to everybody's satisfaction and have it ready. But we're agreeing by consensus that we support this this letter, you know, just want to give everybody who's not here an opportunity, if they have a problem with it, to state that before it's sent. Okay. All right. So now we're ready for announcements. Anything got any?
Robin?
Robin, go ahead.
I'm out in the streets here down in the Puget Sound area, you know, between 1 to 5 times a week, and I've kind of grabbed onto this Occupy movement that's going on the U.S. and the world. And I have taken with great success the approach of the term Occupy Peace through 9/11 Truth. And so far, it's really working very well. I just want to give that a report.
Okay. Any other announcements? Thank you. Any other announcements? If anybody has any announcements, let's see. It's 8:30. Well, we really should pretty much call it close pretty quickly. Maybe we can take a few minutes for if anybody has any items of discussion. Try to take no more than 1 minute in what you have to say. Give everybody else a chance. Who would like to be on the stack?
I'd like to be on the stack.
Yeah.
Sheila?
Yeah.
I only have Sheila so far. Anybody else?
And Robin?
Who? Robin, Sheila, Robin. Who else?
Yeah, what are we talking about now? I just have to leave for a moment.
Being on the stack for open discussion. Would you like
to be on
the stack?
Yeah, I'd like to be on the stack, yes.
Sheila, Robin, Don, who else? Okay, Sheila, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Barry and Paul are still on the line, if they wanted to give us any kind of a update as to what's going on the consensus panel.
I'm still on the line, but I don't want to give any update right at this moment. You probably will get an update soon.
I was going to say about the same thing. An update will be in order, but not tonight, for very good reasons of courtesy and fair communication, things like that.
Right.
Okay. I guess that settles that. Robert?
No, I'm okay. Thanks.
Okay. John?
Yes. I'd like to know first, am I on the listserv? Because that would be the first question.
Well, Don, I'll check anything you are, but I bet you're not on the listserv and the email address that you think you're on. That may be the issue. Because we haven't gotten anything from you.
Do you have my right email address?
I have the email address that you sent the request on, but you have several email addresses, so
I only have one email address.
Well, I believe it is subscribed, but I am going to troubleshoot that.
Voices of safety.
I give you my word that I will troubleshoot this tonight and see what the problem is, okay?
Because I wasn't the only one. There were a few other names, people that said
the other address. Names are people who are not on the list served by choice, okay?
All right. I wanted to speak about the item that was in the minutes of the meeting, the last meeting, and which I wrote about for the listserv, and I'll read it. New Jersey has mandated the teaching of 9/11 terrorism, et cetera, in all grades. Other states have adopted the New Jersey plan. This is an opportunity for members of this group to present 9/11 truth to middle and high school students in their towns. The high school module includes, quote, interviews, where students interview 9/11 survivors, firemen, police, etc. This is our opportunity to present the truth based on the evidence contained in the 9/11 Truth Proclamation or whatever you want to do. So I just said, please complete the following survey. 1, my state, blank, has adopted the New Jersey 9/11 teaching modules, yes or no? 2, if yes, would you be willing to be a member of a proposed 9/11 Truth Student Education Committee, yes or no? Please put this on the agenda for the next meeting. Now, my question is everyone on this call on the listserv, and did everyone read this?
I didn't
I'm on the listserv, and I did not see that on the listserv, that I recall. I don't think your stuff is going on the listserv, and I think there's a problem, and I'm going to check it out.
Okay. Well, I have Craig McKee, 45 at yahoo.ca. Is that correct?
Well, that's my email. I'm the secretary.
Well, that's where Director Ken told me to send it to for the listserv. So my question again, is there anyone on this call that did not receive this or did not see this? Is there anyone?
I didn't.
Well, I didn't send it out to everybody. I wasn't under the impression
that
I was supposed to.
Well, do I have the right email address for the listserv? Is it, in fact, Craig McKee,
no.
MCK?
No, it is not. It's just the one I gave you on the phone, Don. It's the one I gave you on the phone the other day, okay?
Please,
that's what it is.
Well, that's the one I got.
It's 911 Telecom at yahoogroups.com. I gave it to you on the phone the other day get that first.
All right, let me get it right. It's 911 Telecom.
Telecom, with an N as in Nancy, not an M. An N as in Nancy, Telecom.
Telecom at
yahoogroups.com.
Okay, then I will resend this. I'll send this out again.
Send it tonight, and if I don't see it tonight, then I'm going to troubleshoot your subscription and see why it's not going, okay?
All right. Okay, I'll send it out, and then this way everybody can have it. The other question is there anyone on this call where their state do they know whether their state is going to be teaching 9/11 in the classes? Does anyone know about that?
Robin, go ahead.
No, I don't know anything about that, but the more that they do that, the better off we are, because the kids nowadays are going to be, their curiosity is going to be peaked, and all they have to do is go online, and all of a sudden we get a bunch of converts. So I'm sort of perversely in favor of this barbarian approach.
Because I know in the minutes of the last meeting, Robin, I believe you and Tom Tweeden were the only two other people who said they were willing to work with me in forming a student education group.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't. No, I don't think I volunteered for that. But
no,
I do want to publicly.
Volunteered. Yeah.
Right. Right. But I do want to say
thanks. Think about it.
Right. I thought about it, and you just got my answer. Let them do that, because we will use their energies to flip people onto our side. That's a good thing for them to do for us.
No, you wouldn't be willing to be part of the group then?
No, I don't think so. But I do want to publicly thank Tom Tweeden. He sent me a couple of hundred DVDs, and in my ferry crossing situation here, I'm pounding these things out the window like you can't believe it. If anybody has any extra DVDs they want to send my way, please let me know. It's working great.
All right. That's the kind of work we need to be doing. Okay, anybody else have anything for discussion? Okay, hearing none, then I think we'll close the call for tonight. Thank you all for your participation. And we'll be meeting next on the last Wednesday of May, which will be May the 30th. So we'll see you all then at the same time and same place.
Thanks,
good night.
Thank you
again.
Peace.
Good night.